making reference to the Christmas story, so you're going to have to put up with it at least for this week and next week, and then maybe we'll move on from there. You know, this week what I wanted to do is talk about preparation. We maybe should have been talking about that earlier, but I'm thinking in light of the new year coming up in just a few more days, the new year begins, and with that, how do we prep for a new year? How do we learn from the past? How do we do that sort of thing? And I wanted to take this story concerning John the Baptist preparing the world, in particular, the Jewish world, but even more expansive, all the world, of this thing that was going to happen, and that thing that did happen, and prepping them for that. We need preparation at times, don't we? You know, I guess if, as I look out here this morning, I would say there's some of you that look at 2019 and say it was a tough year. There might be others of you here that say, man, it was a banner year for me. But how do you prep for things that happen in life, good or bad? I was thinking about bad news, first of all. You know, you've got people like police departments and medical people and even clergy that sometimes have to prep people for bad news, have to prep people for news that they don't want to hear. And by sharing with them, sometimes you can help people to at least begin to process it a little bit better than if they're just hit with it right away. There are also those who share good news. Although I've not entered for many, many years, Publishers Clearinghouse sometimes will stop by someone's house with this great big check thing and say, guess what, you've won $5,000 a week for life or whatever the case is. That's good news, and we like to hear that sort of thing. Or maybe you get good news at work, a place there you work where maybe you get a bonus and you get that good news, something that's shared with you. I just wanted to ask this morning, how important is it to prepare, not for things like that that you have no way to prepare for, but how do we prepare for some of the important things in life? You know, like preparing for a game. I'm guessing that if an NFL coach told his players that they had the week off before they prep for the next game, which they won't do because they have the week off, and they all show up on Sunday for the game, there's a 99% chance that they're going to lose that game. It's that important to prepare for the team that you are going to be playing. Because every team's different. They have different schemes. They do things differently than the previous team did. And so my guess is if they said, we don't need to prepare, you'd probably lose. More than likely, you'd lose. I think God must have thought it was important for us that when Jesus was coming into the world, that he needed to prepare somehow, some way. We've already heard some of those stories already of preparation. We hear the story of the shepherds who were told by the angels of this one that was born in Bethlehem was more than an ordinary baby. This one that was born in Bethlehem was going to be the Savior of the world. This one born in Bethlehem was going to be the answer to what you all have been hearing about from the scrolls that have been read, of the Old Testament prophecies that have been given, of the Jewish mindset that was a Messiah is going to come. The angels were telling the shepherds, this one that was talked about is here now. Go see him. The wise men from the east that we don't really know exactly where they were as far as who they followed, but they were studying the stars and they were studying what was going on. They came because they knew that as things were, that this one that was born in Bethlehem that was written about, which they probably had studied, and even the stars themselves were telling them of this thing that was going to happen that was prophetic of times old, that they came to and they saw this babe that was born in Bethlehem. They were prepared. God somehow saw fit that those that were going to see and those that we read about in Scripture were prepared for this one that was to come. But it didn't just end there as a little babe in Bethlehem. Who else was prepared, by the way? Joseph and Mary. Remember when the angels came beforehand and said, just got to let you know, Mary, you're going to have a baby and it's going to have nothing to do with Joseph. This baby is going to be God in your womb. Oof. You need to be prepped for something like that, don't you? Mary needed to be prepped for that. And the messenger came and told her. And she processed as best she probably could. In fact, in the scriptures, that she pondered these things in her heart. Joseph, too, who was a part of this whole thing. And he was told, you know, your soon-to-be wife, the one that's pledged to be married to you, is going to have a baby. It's not going to be yours. Well, he's thinking, well, then forget her, right? He was going to divorce her, but this messenger, this angel came to him and said, this baby to be born is a special baby, and you're going to help father this baby. This baby is going to be Emmanuel, Jesus, the Son of God. They had to be prepped for that as well, didn't they? You know, Jesus was his full identity, even though it was exposed a little bit at his birth. It wasn't until he was an adult and John the Baptist came fully onto the scene that there was some more preparation that had to take place. The text we read this morning in the Gospel of John and the text that was read in Malachi prophesied this one that was going to come, this forerunner that would be there. Think about it. We've been talking about the baby in Bethlehem and no royal home. This one who was born really more amongst the area of misfits than in royalty. This one who was humble in his approach. You see, Jesus didn't come into the scene even as a babe and even as an adult with this wham, bang, you know, look who I am. He was humble. He was humble. He would be exalted in due time. But how would the people have reacted without any kind of preparation? I'm using that term this morning because I want us to know we can be prepared for anything in life if we know the Savior. We can be prepared for anything that comes our way as long as we know the Savior who has prepped us. I'm assuming that if John the Baptist didn't come onto the scene, he must have been extremely important because he was prophesied about too. It wasn't just the Messiah, but it was that forerunner that was to come, that one that was going to come just actually months before Jesus, that he was going to prepare the world for this one that was far greater than him. In fact, he even said in the text today, you know, I'm not the one. I came to show you who the one is that's coming. I imagine many of them would just missed out completely. Wouldn't have had a clue without being prepared. They would have perhaps even misunderstood who Jesus was and his intentions were when he came. You see, John the Baptist, when he started to preach at the River Jordan and he was telling people, you need to come and you need to repent and you need to be baptized. He was preparing them for someone who was to come, who was going to take care of that sinful condition that they all had. And he was even nailing the Pharisees who thought, I'm pretty righteous. And they were angered at John the Baptist as well, asking questions about him. But John the Baptist was preparing the people for the one who was to come and take care of a problem they had. And that problem was sin. John the Baptist was preparing the way for the people to know that there was one that was going to come that was going to take care of that particular problem that there was no other solution for. Jesus was coming. John the Baptist preached repentance. He was preparing the way for the one who was to come, who was there already, who was going to take care of that problem that they had. How are you and I going to be prepared for all of life's stuff? First of all, I think we need to know the one who preps us. We need to know the one who preps us. We need to know Jesus Christ personally as our Lord and our Savior. Then when life's circumstances come, whatever they might be, we can know how to respond. Oftentimes, when it's bad stuff, the only way to respond is to lean on Jesus because we don't know what else to do. There are a lot of times in my life I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, whether it's something that I'm going through or someone else is going through. And they come to me and it's like, I can't give you that magic pill. I can't share with you that statement that's going to make everything okay. And you're going to go, oh, yeah, okay, now I get it. Oftentimes we don't have that kind of an answer. But what I can say is when I don't understand, just lean. Lean on Jesus. He has already prepared the way for you. And he's going to take you through whatever it is that you're going through, all of life's circumstances. Whether it's confrontation with our own sin, he's not a God who's sitting there with a baseball bat. Every time we sin, he wants to knock us silly. He's not a God, an angry God, that when you sin, it's like, oops, I guess my salvation is in danger now. I sinned again. No, our salvation is guaranteed in Jesus Christ. It's not every time you sin that you lost your salvation. This is a God who is a better dad than our dads would ever be, even if he had the greatest dad in the world. This one loves us like our earthly moms and dads do, supposedly, if we're good parents, unconditionally. No matter what we do, our parents still love us. Even though they might want to smack us upside of the head, they still love us. God's better at that love thing than we ever were or ever will be. For those who've had maybe a not so great experience with parents, God isn't that kind of a parent. God is a parent who is so patient and so loving and one who gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. He loves us in spite of ourselves. I love my heavenly daddy, and he loves me even more. How are we prepared when we're confronted with sin, or we're confronted with crisis, or we're confronted with death itself? If we know the one who has prepped us, these things that we have to deal with become a little easier to deal with. I didn't say they're easy to deal with, but they're easier to deal with knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was trying to prepare the world for the one who was to come. And when the one finally came, some of those who had listened got it eventually. We have the story before us. We didn't need John the Baptist. We had the Word of God here for us that we could read and we could begin to understand about the one who was prepping us, the one who loved us so much, the one who wanted to take care of our biggest problem, and our biggest problem was sin itself. My question as we close this morning is, how do we prep others? How do we prep others to know the thing that we know? Because you know what? We don't have salvation because we earned it. We have salvation because God was gracious to give it to us. So none of us here this morning are a part of some kind of exclusive class that says, you know what, I'm 78.2% good, and that was good enough for God. No. We're sinners. He demands perfection, and that perfection was won for us in Jesus Christ. He forgave it all. And when we stand before God in heaven one day, maybe he'll ask us the question, why should I let you in? The answer I'll give is because Jesus loved me and died for my sin. And I'm trusting him because I'm unworthy. He'll say, come on in. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did. So how do we prep others for that? I say, number one, when they're in need, give. When they're in need, whatever the need is, let's give. Whatever their need is, they may not realize the need at first is a spiritual need. All they see is a physical need. But when we have the opportunity to help someone with that need that they perceive that they have, it eventually gives us the opportunity to share with them the need that is greater than the one they think they have. When people are in need, give. A generous church has an opportunity to share with people more than food, more than clothing, more than bill paying, more than any of that sort of thing. Because you see, what that eventually can do is open up the door to the deeper things. Because once you've given, then give them what they really need. Once you've given, share with them as you have the opportunity what they really need, and that is Jesus Christ himself. You know, when crisis comes, people will often listen. You know, it is times like funerals. It is times of bad news that people are oftentimes more willing to listen because what? They weren't prepared for this. They don't know how to respond to this, whatever that this is. And those are opportunities for us to share with them the one who can take care of any of the issues that we have in our lives and walk us through whatever path it is we need to walk through. It doesn't mean that he takes us out of the situation. He walks us through the situation. How do we prep others? Tell them about the one who prepped you, the one who took care of you, the one who loves you, the one who forgave you. So as we move into 2020, how important is preparation? I think it's very important. Are we prepared? If we know Jesus, we're prepared because we don't have to lean on ourselves. We can lean on him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for John the Baptist who prepared the way for those who were going to see this one called Jesus. It wasn't until later that even the disciples themselves understood who Jesus really was. The Son of God who taketh away the sin of the world. God, help us as we move into 2020 to be a people that both know the one who preps us, the one who loves us, the one who's been gracious and merciful to us, so that we can also let others know. They can have the same assurance so that no matter what happens in their life, they'll be prepared because Jesus is with them. Thank you. Praise you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.